Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
Question, did Jesus ever laugh? There has been long a notion that Jesus never laughed. Traditionally, paintings of Jesus have tended toward melancholic portrayals of a somber, glum Savior. It is true that Jesus became our sin-bearer and that he was despised and rejected of man, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Jesus was rejected in his hometown. He wept at a friend's graveside, and of course he experienced the cross. However, this does not mean Jesus never had a light-hearted moment or that he never had occasion to laugh. The picture of Jesus that we find in the Gospels is one of a well-rounded, magnetic personality. He carried children in his arms, and what child wants to be around someone who never laughs? He was accused of being too joyful on one occasion. He told John's disciples that it was not time for mourning. The very fact that we humans have a sense of humor indicates that God does too, for we are made in His image. The existence of penguins, platypuses, and puppies also builds a strong case for God having a sense of humor. Jesus, as the Son of God, shares the Father's attributes, including a sense of humor. As the Son of Man, Jesus shares in the full human experience. We cannot imagine life without laughter. Even those in dire circumstances have known seasons of joy. Everyone laughs and appreciates good humor. To say that Jesus never expressed joy through laughter is akin to denying his full humanity. Jesus evinced a sense of humor in his teaching. Jesus' discussion of the log in one's eye is a purposeful exaggeration, and a light-hearted one at that. Also, the incongruous image of a camel going through the eye of a needle contains humor. Jesus encouraged joyful laughter, most famously in the Beatitudes, recorded in Matthew 5 and in Luke chapter 6. Jesus said, "Blessed are you who weep, for you shall laugh." Jesus spoke of rejoicing in his parables in Luke chapter 15. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son were all found. The result of each case was great rejoicing. Even more telling is that Jesus told these stories as illustrations of the joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus had a serious mission to accomplish in this world, but he was not one to be somber all the time. There is no verse in the Bible that says Jesus laughed, but we know that he empathized with us completely and felt all our emotions. Laughter is part of life, and Jesus truly lived. Oh, I'm glad you joined us this morning. Stay tuned, for later I want to read the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and speak to you about a life well worth living.
There's a picture on the wall that brings me comfort. Weary eyes rest on it from time to time. It's a sweet, unique depiction of the Savior, the only one I know quite of its kind. It shows him laughing, our Lord is laughing, his head thrown back with joy on his loving face. And in that moment there's something happens. I feel at peace just seeing Jesus laughing. To the left and just above the picture, there sits a wooden cross upon a shelf. Sometimes it seems just like the Lord is gazing straight into the face of death itself. And I see him laughing, our Lord is laughing, his head thrown back with joy upon his loving face. And in that moment there's something happens. I feel at peace just seeing Jesus laughing. In my heart I hold a gentle vision. Someday when I reach the other side, he'll hold me in his arms and whisper, welcome. His head thrown back with joy upon his loving face. I lay down my burdens and feel it happen. An everlasting peace with Jesus laughing. I'll join the angels singing and clapping.
Lord, I thank you today that you indeed are one who understands our sorrow, but you also understand our joys. Your response to the circumstances of life that we face bring us comfort, bring us hope, bring us cheer, bring us rest, and we just glorify your name again this morning for how faithful you are to each of us in whatever the circumstances of life may be for us. You're a friend like none other. The loving arms of Jesus around us are so reassuring, and the listening ear is so comforting, and knowing that the eye of the Lord is upon us and we're the apple of your eye is so invigorating. We just praise you this morning that you identify with us in all of our tribulations. You were tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. And you give us the power and the wherewithal to be able to live a life of victory because of your indwelling presence and the power that you give to us to rise above the cares of life and to live victoriously over sin. You know who needs comfort today. You know who needs cheer. You know who needs someone to join in their delights and someone who needs you to understand the griefs and the burdens that they are bearing. We're thankful that we can recommend you to whosoever again this morning. So minister to hearts, use this broadcast to be a blessing to some soul, and we'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day.
I hope you can identify with that old song by the Stettler Brothers Trio, Jesus is all the world to me. He certainly is to me, and I praise him for it. Well, again, it's great to have you listening to Missionary Echoes this morning. It's a ministry of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon. We invite you to our Sunday school, which will begin in just a few minutes at 9:30 this morning. And then at 10:30 is our morning worship service. We've been blessed this weekend to have guests from God's Bible School, the Cornerstone Quartet, and Stuart Quisenberry and Josiah England, Isaac England, and others here in ministry. This morning in the 10:30 service, Stuart Quisenberry will be speaking. And then tonight, Pastor Joel Sickler will be speaking in a youth emphasis service. So we invite you to our services today, 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 morning worship, 6 o'clock the evening worship, and also Ready, Set, Go class for the children tonight. Wednesday night will be our midweek prayer meeting service at 7 o'clock, and then next weekend again, services throughout the day on the Lord's Day. So we invite you to come and worship with us anytime. We are blessed to have many regulars and many visitors and many demonstrations of the Lord's presence, His coming near, His anointing, His word as it is preached, His anointing, the ministry of music, the ministry of giving and supporting the many things that our church does in ministry to reach others for Jesus, to spread the good news of the gospel that Jesus saves, satisfies, sanctifies, keeps us every day in good victory, and we praise Him for it. We all face our battles, our temptations, our challenges, but we're thankful that the God of all grace is there for us to see us through. So why don't you come and be a part of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church if you're not already. You can also join us online to watch our services. LebanonGMC.com is our website. We're also on Facebook and YouTube channels with our services. And then at our website, you can get into our archives and listen to previous messages and previous radio broadcasts, etc. So check us out, and we are so thankful for all those who are connected to the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. Stay tuned as we enjoy some more music and a message from God's Word.
I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones, traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where Joseph left him lay, the precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave.
If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you
one step in his direction, then in love he ran to me.
If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive.
Redeemed Quartet for that good number, and oh, how wonderful it is to know Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Harry S. Truman was quoted as saying, I do not believe there is a problem in this country or the world today which could not be settled if approached through the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. Not only could the sermon as a whole solve every potential problem, what is often overlooked are the positive qualities of life Jesus promises if people would only adopt the world view with which he introduces the Sermon on the Mount in the section called the Beatitudes. These are the blessings and responsibilities of discipleship. The Greek term means happy or fortunate. The second half of each beatitude explains why or how those described in the first half are blessed. If you ask a group of people what would make living life really worth the effort, you would get a list that might include success, significance, and security. All of these and more are ours if we will only allow him to develop the character qualities Jesus desires of his disciples. Even Jesus' enemies said, Never man spake like this man. While this referred to all that Jesus taught, it goes without saying that the Sermon on the Mount was the greatest message ever delivered. It encompasses chapters 5, 6, and 7. The Beatitudes form the introduction of that message as recorded in Matthew chapter 5, and together stress the theme that heart righteousness is far more valuable than hand ritual. Those who listened to Jesus' message on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee included both the broader audience of the curious crowd and the disciples who had attached themselves to the Galilean messenger. Jesus set heaven and earth in perspective when he talked about the blessings that can be anticipated when a series of heart attitudes are adopted. Bookending the list with the first and last Beatitudes is the present assurance for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. In between the first and the last Beatitudes are six that stress future rewards for present attitudes. While the kingdom is a present reality, its consummation comes only in the future. Blessings are promised for both the present and the future. The kingdom is a present possession as well as a future realization. Giving thanks unto the Father who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, we read in Colossians chapter 1, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. A professor of New Testament interpretation at the University of London wrote, The future tense emphasizes their certainty and not merely their futurity. The mourners will indeed be comforted, and so on. The Beatitudes are too often memorized and too infrequently applied. The following is a suggested framework to see the attitude and assurance and an application for each. The first phrase contains the beatitude Jesus desires. The second contains the blessed assurance Jesus promises. Just as surely as all eight of the qualities should be part of the life of every Christian, so also should be the eight blessings. The first four seem to emphasize one's vertical relationship with God. The second set has more to do with one's horizontal relationships with people. So let's begin. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You bring nothing of spiritual value to the table that can serve to merit your salvation. Therefore, be humble and enjoy a secure future. God will give his blessing to those who acknowledge their spiritual need. The next one is, verse 4, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning throughout the scriptures is almost always associated with the recognition of sin. Therefore, be repentant and experience a calm heart. God will strengthen now and in eternity. That's certain, now and a future that is bright. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. People who are meek and gentle of heart share the character of Christ, who described himself by these same terms. Therefore, be controlled and make a real impact. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The insatiable appetite of doing life according to the direction of God is the key to biblical success. Therefore, be teachable and bask in a fulfilled life. God will satisfy your longings. Hallelujah. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. A reflection of the undeserved favor of God toward others is the human extension of the unconditional love of God. Therefore, be gracious, and you will have great relationships. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The perfection of God's character is and always has been the standard of righteousness that will enable one to stand confident in the presence of God. We can be made pure and perfect in heart through sanctification. Therefore, be single-minded toward God, holy and marked by integrity, and one day you will share His glory. There must be an inward genuineness of purity visible in loving deeds. Next, in verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The reconciliation of sinners is the purpose of the redemptive work of Christ. Therefore, be fair, thus demonstrating that you belong to the family of God, and thus we are like God in nature and character. Finally, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Followers of Christ can expect to be treated very similarly to the Christ they follow. Suffering for righteousness' sake makes us part of a great company. We are not encouraged to seek such suffering, but when it occurs, it can enrich our lives here and reward us in heaven. Therefore, be patient, and you will be rewarded with ultimate justice. C.S. Lewis said, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for this world were those who thought the most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. Wow, what a statement. The character of any disciple is the foundation for his or her ability to impact their culture. While there is a crisis of leadership in this world, the crisis of leadership is really the absence of Christian character. If we would possess the light of Christ's character, we would become the salt of his savor to our generation. This sermon is not a prescription for salvation by works, but rather a description of the possibilities that grace opens to those who surrender fully to the will and the rule of God. I trust you've done exactly that, my friend. We appreciate you joining us for Missionary Echoes. May the Lord bless you. Have a wonderful Lord's Day. We hope to see you in church and Sunday school today.
Once my home, I was a slave, helpless in sin did roam, love I did crave, but when I looked up to heaven's dome, Christ came to save, I'm living in Canaan now.
Living on Canaan's side,
Egypt behind,
crossed over Jordan wide,
gladness to find,
my soul was satisfied,
no longer I'm living Jesus up in Canaan right now. Satan may have you bound with fetters strong. Look up
to higher ground. Will not be long till Christ the Savior your soul has found. You'll sing this song, I'm living in Canaan now.
I'm living on Canaan side,
Egypt behind.
Crossed over Jordan wide,
gladness to find.
My soul was satisfied,
no longer I am I. Living with Jesus up in Canaan right now.
Living on Canaan side,
Egypt behind.